That worship this morning was rich. It was so good to rest in God's presence. And like Peter said, we're just going to spend a bit of time praying and listening and hearing from God. So I just want to invite you. I think we need to recalibrate from that shock. So just invite you to just to a moment of stillness before God. Let's just pause. So, Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you that you are present here. We thank you that you love us. We thank you that you've made a way for us. We just ask, Lord, that you would open our eyes to see you. We ask that you would open our ears to hear you. In Jesus' name, amen. We spent last week in Mark 6. 1 through 6, and we almost went on to Mark 6, 7, and there was this prompting this last week that we weren't yet done, that we needed to spend some more time. And so last week, if you were here, we spent time in this text specifically around the idea of what the tone was. We spent a bit of time talking about what faith is, what it looks like. And this week, we're going to spend some time on the idea of honor. And so if you've got your Bibles, turn with me to Mark. I'm just going to read this passage here. Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. And when the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Now, last week, we read it one way, and then we went back and we read it the way that the tone actually is presented. And so we're just going to jump right into the tone that this is presented. And they said this: "Say, where did this man get these things? What's this wisdom that's been given him? What are these remarkable miracles he's performing? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own town, among his relatives, and in his own home. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. He was amazed at their lack of faith." This past week, I was pressing ahead on this ongoing project that sometimes I'm reminded has been taking about 6 years or so to complete, but we're getting to the end stages of this work on this thing we call our basement, which is exciting, right? And so we've got these odd and ends tasks that we're finishing. This week I happen to be doing a little bit of painting on a door and some other bed parts. And I was out and I'm moving along here, and I've been listening to a couple of different books and thought, I'm just going to change it up a little bit. I want to laugh. And so I thought, well, let's see, maybe there's some kind of a comedian that I can listen to that'll be. And so I turned on, I think it was Netflix, and went to a comedian. Now, my goal was to find something that wasn't raunchy, something that I didn't actually have to watch the comedian, because I have to watch what I'm painting. Nobody likes paint lines or running marks on their, anybody relate to that? Nobody likes the drops. So I turned this show on, and the guy gets up and he starts to speak. And he makes a couple of jokes about how everybody's come to see him, and he makes these comments about how great he is, and all of a sudden he makes this disparaging comment about people or humanity, and there's a bit of a catch in my spirit, right? A bit of a catch. And then he goes on and makes this comment, and he talks about how he's actually better than Jesus. And then he goes on to say, the reason I'm better than Jesus is because I actually showed up. And I heard it. And in my heart, I was in my spirit, I was grieved. And the grieving came because for the whole week, I had been listening and looking and considering what does it mean to honor God. And the grief came not because I was angry at this man, but because I was so sad for him. And I was so sad because his lack of faith limits his engagement and his connection with God. See, Jesus truly showed up. He showed up in the flesh. He lived in such a way that he has become the measuring stick. Remember, we talked about that last week, that Jesus is the measuring stick. That we don't look to our friends around us. We don't look to people that have done amazing things. That we go back to Jesus. And he lived in this perfect way. And as he went, he called people. He drew them to him. He said, hey, you need to repent. You need to change the way that you're thinking. You need to turn towards, and then you need to keep on producing that fruit that comes from, because guess what? The kingdom of heaven has come near. And Jesus was saying that I'm bringing the kingdom of heaven with me. And he lived. He was put to death. And he was in a tomb for 3 days, and then God's Spirit rose him up. Death had no hold on him. He rose him up. And it's as we believe in that, as we put our faith in those things, that we actually enter into life. We actually enter into life. And the only way that we get to that point is through faith. And so I listened to this man and my heart went out to him. And I, even now I pray, Jesus, that you would reveal, that you continue to speak to him. I pray, Lord, that you would continue to speak to us wherever we have doubts about you showing up. I pray, Lord, that you would open our eyes. To these two key essential things. Of faith and honor. Thank you, Lord. See, faith is about believing. It's what we believe, even though we don't always see it, or even though we don't always feel it. Just like we sang, faith is about, practically speaking, us putting our trust in something. Honor is about valuing someone, specifically in a relational context. We make these comments, oh, it's an honor to be here. But when you honor someone, something happens in that relationship, doesn't it? A number of years ago, this word honor showed up, and it was in a parenting context. It was speaking about what are some essential things. And this author was pointing to this truth that if we as a family unit honor one another, everything else falls into place. And I may have mentioned it a few times in this past year because it just became part of my thought process. But when we start to think as parents, okay, how can I honor my child? How can I treat them in such a way that my goal is not to control them? My goal is not to create a carbon copy. My goal is not to manipulate them, but my goal is to see them come into the fullness of who they are. It changes the way that you parent, doesn't it, moms and dads? Kids, there's this beautiful commandment that says, honor your parents. And Paul points out it's the first commandment that comes with a promise that things will go well as you honor your mom and your dad. See, kids, you may look at the way that your parents think about things and you may go, that's so stupid. But often when we make those condescending accusations, and I speak from personal experience, it's from a selfish place. And guess what, kids? You actually might be right. Some of the things that we do or say can be stupid, right? Can we admit that, moms and dads? But kids, sometimes it's okay to actually honor what your mom and dad are thinking and speaking. There's this promise, and it'll go well. It'll go well with you. So I've got a couple of scriptures that I want us to touch on today. One is Ephesians 4 and the other is Galatians 5. And as we touch on these, we're going to hear and see this concept of honor. Now, here's a reality. Anytime you see something good happening in Scripture, this principle, this concept of honor is present. Try it this week. Try and read one of the stories and see what honor looks like. See, the reality is that God honors us. He places value on us by pursuing us, by initiating relationship with us, by sending Jesus, by making a way for us to live and have life and fullness. We honor God when we look to Him, when we believe in Him. And as we honor God, as we place our faith, and here's the ultimate goal is this relationship that brings in really the culture of heaven. Do you want that? Man, I want that. And here's a truth, church, is sometimes we believe this lie that we have to wait until we die to experience that culture, and that's wrong. That's wrong. That's why Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is coming near. And when we believe in Jesus, we have the same Holy Spirit, and we have the capacity, as we choose God, as we honor Him, to bring the kingdom of heaven with us. And what is one of those ways that it looks? Man, it looks like a lot of honor. It looks like a lot of honor. Now, what I want to remind us of is we don't want to press on these places in Scripture and say, okay, here's the formula. If I do this, if I honor, if I believe, then this will happen right now. What we want to do rather is take the principles, and the principles are this: believe in God with everything you are, honor God, honor one another. That's what the kingdom looks like. That's right. So turn to Ephesians 4, Ephesians 4, 29. Ephesians 4, 29. So Paul has been giving this church a whole bunch of ideas, concepts, keys to living as followers of Jesus. And right before this, he says, put off all the falsehoods and speak truthfully to your neighbors. And we're going to drop right into 29. And it says, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. See, what we say matters. What we say makes a difference. Listen to the way that the people spoke about Jesus. Where did this man get these things? What's this wisdom that's been given him? What are these remarkable miracles he's performing? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this the son of Mary? All these things were evidence of the offense that they were holding in their hearts. And this is so key. See, when these words come out of our mouths, when this, what Paul says is unwholesome talk comes out of our mouths, there's something deeper going on inside of us. And it isn't enough just to stop saying those things if they're still in our hearts. See, honor isn't just a verbal thing. It's actually a heart-based action and response. So Paul's saying, only say what's helpful for building others up according to their needs. Honor people. How do I need to know. I need to know what your needs are. And then, not only do I need to know what your needs are, I need to speak life into your situation. And that's going to look different, isn't it? And that's where it's going to be key that we're actually not functioning on our own, that we're functioning with our ear tuned in to God. Tuned in to His kingdom orientation. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. See, that grieving the Holy Spirit is this, if we were to put it in a really simple form, it's when we tune out, when we stop listening to His calling on us. And sometimes the call is to do something. Sometimes the call is to speak something. Sometimes the call is to repentance. Sometimes the call is to change our mind. But when we block, it causes grief. And so he goes, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, wrong with any form of malice. Instead, be kind, be compassionate. And see, this next part is the key for how do we release ourselves from offense. Forgive each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Our call is to do and live the way that Jesus did. And this is so important for us to get, because our lives are actually to be ones of ongoing forgiveness. And it may be that there's an offense that happened to you that, oh, I've already forgiven, but all of a sudden it drops back into your mind or your heart and starts to stir and create offense. What do you do with that? You forgive, and you forgive, and you forgive. You anchor yourself on that truth, on that concept that we are called to forgive just the way that Jesus forgave us. See, forgiveness is part of honor. I honor somebody as I look at them after they've hurt me. I say, hey, I forgive you. I recognize that you are created in God's image. I forgive you. Follow God's example as dearly loved children. Walk in the way of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. See this life of honor, speaking from an earthly perspective, it isn't always easy, is it? It isn't always easy to go, that person keeps on doing the same thing to me. And you want me to forgive them again? Yeah. Now, obviously, there are different contexts, and we need to be sensitive and careful. Specifically, an abusive relationship is not one that you stay in and keep forgiving. But there are a lot of other places where we take on offense that aren't ours to hold. And see, this is where it ties back to our identity. This is where it ties back to who we understand we are. This is where it comes back to, as soon as we choose Jesus, as soon as we place our faith in him, we are transformed. We're transformed into his children. And not just children who are at a distance, but children who have all the rights and privileges. Children who have access to all the fullness and the entry into that fullness, I believe some of the keys are these two things that we've been talking about, are our faith and our honor of who God is. All right, turn to Galatians 5. If you're in your Bible, just flip back. It's the chapter right before Ephesians. Now, Paul's speaking to the Galatian church here, and the Galatian church, there was a group of them who are trying to say, hey, you need to do this old ritual, you need to be circumcised. And so if you come into being a believer of Jesus as an adult, and you are not circumcised, you need to be circumcised. Now, if anybody's aware of that, that's a tragic ordeal as an adult. It's traumatic enough as a baby. I know somebody dear and close who had to have the surgery performed as an adult, and that person was incapacitated for weeks. Now, this is awkward because I'm talking about private matters, but it's okay, a little chuckle, because the kingdom of God is a fun place. It's a joyful place. And getting to honor, and man, as soon as we start to put our finger on honor, it releases joy in us. Now, this poor group of people in the Galatians, think about the people who were actually starting to, out of devotion to God, out of thinking that they were honoring God, were starting to, the practice before Paul's letter got there. Have you ever thought about that before? Oh, these poor guys. Poor guys. And so Paul goes on to say, it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then. Do not let yourselves be burdened again to a yoke of slavery. I'm not sure if you're aware, but at Crossroads we have five values. Among them, and you can find all those on our website, but among them, the last one that we identify as one of the key values, and that's, we say, this is who we are as we're moving towards achieving the vision, is freedom. And it's that verse specifically. Hey, you've been set free. Don't turn back into slavery. You were set free. Don't turn back to slavery. Verse 2 goes on, mark my words. Paul's saying, this is important. I tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. So you've got to go back to the Ten Commandments and the 600 all subcommands, and you've got to make sure you're doing every single one of those. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You've fallen away from grace. See, sometimes we mistake honor for seeking after rules and following the rules. And it seems like in the church, we're really good at that. At going back to making sure we've got all the rules dialed in. Of seeking to keep everything contained and in a box. Of taking this idea of grace, which is unmerited favor, and putting it to the side so that, okay, we've gained entry, and now we've got to do the work. And I want us to hear this and understand that it's something that has been going through my mind again and again and again in the last couple of months. Maybe it's just a month, ever since we talked about favor over Christmas. So I guess it's about a month. It seems like months, weeks. See, here's the thing. Before Jesus, we stand as people who have sinned. We've done wrong things. Every single one of us here, we have that in common, right? Some of us may have even sinned this morning. You okay? When we hold that term, that definition, unmerited favor, and we keep grabbing onto it, we lose the weights of the favor. Because the second we choose Jesus, we go from it being unmerited to all of a sudden being a child of God. As a child of God, we are merited favor. Do you see the difference? So that grace is the entry point. There's nothing we can do. There's nothing we can do to gain access. But church, once we have access, we are children. We come into a place of honor, and we live in that honor, that place of favor, as we honor God. And we honor God with the transformation of our hearts, not by following rules. We honor God the transformation of our hearts, not just by following rules. And I think this is something that's so key for us to learn and understand as a church. That as soon as we engage with somebody who is in a difficult, a painful situation, something maybe that's outside of what we understand is good and right in Scripture, if there, as soon as there is genuine repentance, this idea of changed mind, awareness of what the problem is, as soon as that happened, you're standing in favor. Do you understand what that means? That means we live these lives of honor. That means the scripture that nothing can separate us is actually true. As soon as we have our identity, our understanding lined up. Now, church, I'm learning about this. I'm learning about this in my own life. I'm recognizing that as a dad, I've been really good at laying out the rules. And as I've laid out the rules for my kids, I've caused confusion. I've made it seem like the rules are the important part. And what I'm finding as I journey with my kids and what they're learning is, yeah, on the other side, there's this forgiveness, there's this grace. Why? Man, you're my kid. I care about your heart way more than the other stuff. That's true for every single one of my kids. And what I'm hearing is there's a need that my kids shouldn't have to wait. They shouldn't have to wait for the mess to understand that. They should be understanding that before. Do you hear what I mean? And so I'm journeying with this in conviction, in desire to see this fullness in my family, but also in our church. And that's where this idea of honor is so essential. It's for freedom that we've been set free. Don't turn to rules. Don't honor rules, church. There's this, I'm going to invite our teams who are serving communion, if you can make your way forward. And I'm going to close with this last idea. Sometime in the last season, I happened to see this commercial, this advertisement. And it is for a type of cheese spread called Laughing Cow. Anybody ever had Laughing Cow before? A few of us have. It's got this logo of a cow that's having a good guffaw on its brand. If I'm totally honest, I'm not a big fan of ads, but as I saw this ad, it was as though the Holy Spirit said, "Pay attention." And I at the end of it, I went, "Whoa." And then I kept seeing it, and I would see it, and I would go, "What does that mean? What does that mean? What does that mean?" And so let me, you may have seen this ad, but let me explain it to you just so that you can have a picture. It goes like this. I think it's a grandpa at this point, but it's a grandpa who's sitting in his chair reading a newspaper, and he's got this stern look on his face. And in walks the mom with her son. So we've got three generations. Anybody seen this? Anybody with me? Apparently, I'm the only one that ever watches. Or if you're embarrassed to note it. And listen, I don't watch it that much. Seriously. All right. I'm trusting in honor and your forgiveness and not to take offense at what I'm saying. I'm just tying it all together. Good. We're good? All right, here we go. So three generations, grandfather, mom, and child, and the dad, the grandpa's looking at this newspaper, stern face. It's like he's trying to squint. And you see mom bring in the little grandson with these glasses that are just crunched and mangled. I'm giving it away because you can hear it. Anyway, just mangled, right? And the stern face. And so you can all imagine, oh, this kid is going to get it. Man, I'm so sorry. Come on now. Here we go. It doesn't usually go this far. Sorry. The grandpa looks up, looks at the glasses, stern, 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 and then just goes, and just starts to laugh, right? And it's his sequence, right? It's this sequence. Next is a picture of him as a young adult, and he walks with this tray of orange juice and Diet Cokes or something like that. And he falls back and spills it all over him. And where you would normally go, oh, what? You're going to have to clean. He just starts to laugh and laugh and laugh. The next one is of him as a little boy in the goal. And he gets scored on. And you see his face just turn to for a moment. And then all of a sudden, he just starts to laugh. He just laughs and laughs. He got scored on. And then the last one is this. So you can see it's the timeline, right? It's him as just a little baby. Him as a baby. And he plunks back on his bum. And it looks like a sore one. And you see the mom just get down into his face. And she just starts to laugh. And she laughs, and she laughs, and the baby laughs. Whew. Now, I tell you what, you're not going to get this every week. And if you're listening to this on our podcast, this is not how we normally sound. Oh, man, what it was that mom instilled this honor in this little baby. Like this dearly loved child. And this baby grew up knowing the honor of his mom. And see, here's the connection point. I think you've already made it. When we enter into that life of Jesus, he makes us his child. And he gives us a freedom. And he releases the potential joy. Listen, there's such truth and richness in that Thessalonians passage where it says to be joyful. To be joyful. And it's attached, church, I believe it's so attached to honor. Oh, thank you, Arlene. Thank you. Wow. See, this culture of honor means that, first of all, we enter into relationship with God, with our faith, we believe, and we honor God with that. And see, faith and honor, they go together. They're connected. But then as soon as we have the unmerited favor, we live in the favor as his dearly loved child. There's nothing that we can do. We can make mistakes all day long. And God's concerned about the problem, but he's not really that concerned with your mouth. He loves you so much. And so, church, we're gonna take part in the new covenant in communion. And as we do that, I just want to invite us into a place of honor, of honoring God. I want to invite us into a place of joy. Can I invite you to stand? So, Father, we stand as your children, your dearly beloved children. and it's almost as though this commercial has an element of prophecy or of calling out in the church. Because some of us have grown up believing that we've got to get our stuff together, that we've got to follow the rules, and forgetting that really the most important things are that we honor and we love you, and that we honor and love one another, and then everything's covered. And so today, Lord, we choose you. We choose your freedom. We honor you. Even as we take this bread, we remember, Lord, that your body was broken for us. We remember, Lord, that in your life and death and resurrection, there's a fullness. There's healing for us. And so we say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And we move forward in joy. And so, church, just invite you to come forward and take the bread. And you can eat it there, or you can bring it back to your seat, and then take the cup back with you to your seat. And we're going to take that together.